Last week, Truman met the second of the spiritual guide dogs, a Bernese Mountain Dog named Daisy. It was her job to teach Truman leg number two of the spiritual survival kit, and that leg was compassion. And here's what she has to say about it. Leg number two, compassion, as presented by Daisy, the Bernese Mountain Dog. Compassion is sometimes mistakenly tied up with grand schemes, donating millions, helping in a disaster, big stuff with major players such as Mother Teresa, but compassion is much more accessible than that. We have the opportunity to practice compassion many times each day, especially as humans. Because we, the canine, are more evolved, we have a natural tendency in regard to compassion. "Then why are you teaching it to me? I'm a dog," said Truman, who realized that this was the first time he had acknowledged his dogness. "Oh, well, that would be jumping a little too far ahead in your training, one step at a time. But trust me, Truman, it will make sense in the end. If it doesn't, it's not the end. I stole that one from a movie. Just changed it around a little to suit my purpose." "You watch movies?" said Truman. "Of course. Dogs love movies." "But dogs aren't allowed into movie theaters," said Truman. "In theory, yes, but in practice we have a branch of the organization called service dogs and a subcategory for movie going. They telepathically send the movie to our archive dogs, a very talented gang. In any case, we have a fine library on legs for both movies and books. Fortunately, we don't have to either search for them or store them in large buildings where we're not allowed due to some of our less evolved members leaving messes where they shouldn't have." "I'm beginning to see that I underestimated dogs," said Truman. "Most people do," said Daisy, "although many of our so-called owners, at least the good ones, have an inkling as to our innate powers." "I didn't like dogs in my former life," said Truman. "You had your reasons," said Daisy. "Now let's continue. Compassion originates in the earth. It draws from the depths, the places untouched by the folly of mankind. Humans have tried to take over and too often destroyed the thin shell that protects the giant ball they call Earth. They mistakenly believe they own it and can do with it as they please. So, compassion draws its power from the center of the ball, moving upward through its many layers, all of this in the time it takes to inhale. When compassion reaches the heart, it takes a 90-degree turn outward. In the case of humans, that would be directly in front of their chest. And with an exhalation, compassion touches whoever is in need of it, whether that be the person in front of you or the people anywhere else on this planet. It can be used on oneself by simply standing in front of a mirror and sending compassion to the reflection. That's the energy you use when greeting any and all sentient beings, which includes almost everything physics-wise, all things being energy. Compassion is an antidote for judgment, indifference, and hatred. It opens the heart, making available the possibility of connection. If the heart is blocked or closed, we cannot connect. Now, Truman, whenever you identify the negative emotion you're feeling, please do it gently. Don't beat yourself up for feeling judgmental or for feeling hatred or agitation, confusion, and fear from leg number one taught to you by Alphonse. Just say, "Ah, this is," and fill in the blank with whatever negative emotion it is, but gently, very gently. Then breathe and say the appropriate phrase. For example, you might be feeling judgmental, so you identify the feeling by thinking, "Ah, this is judgment." Then inhale from deep below you, while saying or thinking in this moment. Stop at the heart and then exhale while saying or thinking, I am open. And also, you can't be expected to overcome immediately every way in which you may lack compassion. That would be overwhelming. It's a lifetime's work, which is why we are given a lifetime to accomplish it, Daisy said with a smile. And here's the setup for leg number two, compassion. You might want to take notes, although you can always listen back to the audio if you want to, but each of the legs has a review page, and this is the review page. You also have one for the first leg. So compassion is the antidote for judgment, indifference, and hatred. The benefit of compassion is that it's opening. It opens the heart. The feeling is connected. It heals your energy. Now, when I say that it heals your energy, I mean, I kind of avoid the word aura, but you know when you walk into a room or someone walks into a room, you get a sense of their energy, you get a sense of their, you know, whether they're cool or whether they're not so cool to be around, whatever, it's their energy. Well, that's what compassion heals. It heals your energy. When you're in judgment, people can sense that. They can sense that in your energy. So, compassion, as I just said, heals your energy or your aura. So when you're doing the breathing, this time you're going to be breathing from deep down in the earth. You're going to breathe up to your heart. So that will be on an inhale. And on the inhale, you will say, in this moment. And then on the exhale, you would say either, I am open. Or you might say, in this moment, I am connected. Or you might say, in this moment, I am radiant. Each of those to counteract what am I trying to say here? At the beginning, I said the antidote. So when you make judgment, if it's judgment that you want to work on, then you would say, I am open. If it's indifference that you wanted to work on, I am connected. If it's hatred you wanted to work on, I am radiant. And the very simple statement for compassion is heart to heart. Moving on from that review. Truman spent much of the day pondering his considerable lack of compassion in the past. He realized that he had not shown enough of that particular leg when it came to his patients. Although he might not be accused of being unkind, he had sometimes felt indifference to their plight. His wife Sylvia had been his opposite. She had shown compassion to everyone she met. He had sneeringly accused her of working toward sainthood. He wondered now how she had put up with him all those years. As for his children, he had constantly criticized them. Nothing they did was good enough for him. No wonder they had both gotten dogs, spending hours with them and as little time as possible with him. The more he thought about his family, the worse he felt. Psst. Broke his reverie. Truman had enough sense, as a dog, to know that cats were not his friends, and the creature eyeballing him was definitely of the feline species. He edged himself away from any threat of being on the receiving end of a sharp set of claws. "White flag, man, I come in peace," hissed the cat. Truman kept his distance, unconvinced. "Seriously," she said. "But you're a cat," said Truman. "Stating the obvious," said Kittimus. "Aren't you supposed to be the enemy?" he asked. For dog's sake, we're not all that way. We get a bad rap. Like, when was the last time you had a problem with any one of us? Actually, never, but then I'm new to this dog game, said Truman. No kidding, she said, making no attempt to hide the sarcasm. Anyway, is there something I can do for you, said Truman. Strange as it may seem, I'm here to do something for you. I've been given the task of teaching you leg number 3, unless you want to skip that particular lesson. You? Said Truman. That's right, me. However, I can see that your prejudice is keeping you a bit stuck. You might want to review your previous lesson. You know, like leg number 2, compassion. Remember, taught to you by Daisy? All right, I got it, said Truman. Prejudice is just another form of judgment, which has a nasty habit of morphing into hatred. Like I said Truman, I got it. So that's going to end the reading for this week. And next week, we'll be looking at the actual workings of forgiveness. So have a creative week, and we'll see you again, or we'll hear you again, or you'll hear me again soon.